Good morning and welcome everyone this morning. For those who are visiting, I'm not allowed to go there, or so I've been told. They say I go into the dark. For those who are visiting or don't know me, my name's David Eden. I'm one of the elders here and have been for a number of years. For those who are regulars, you most probably also know that over the past this year and part of last year, I've had some very difficult passages to speak on. And those were preset by what we have as the theme for within the church. This one here is not a preset one. This one here is something that I've actually put upon myself, mainly because I've had people ask that we haven't heard anything on this subject whatsoever. I wanted to also tell you before I start that number one, predestination is not an easy subject. It is a very, very difficult one. However, it is also a paradox. In other words, it is easy. If you look at it properly, it is easy. Number two, you may have heard of the isms. There's lots of isms, such as the doctrines of Calvin, the doctrines of Calvin, Calvinism, Arminianism, Methodism, Catholicism, all these other isms. I can tell you now that what I have put here is not an ism. It is not a David Edenism. It is that ism only. And that's all you're going to get out of this message, is that and nothing else. This subject has divided theologians, families, churches, everything for years and years and millennia. So what I have done, you may find that some of it may be a little bit repetitive, and that's been done for a reason, so that you can get the idea of what predestination or preordination, whichever you want to do, is all about. So let's first up get into it. It is a very profound and complex subject. It's mentioned not only in Ephesians, but also Romans, Acts, and Jesus mentions it as well in the Gospels. What it does is it touches on the very nature of God's sovereignty, His grace, and our place in His divine plan. That's what predestination is all about. And part the way through this, I'm going to give you a very simple couple of words that will explain to you that I want you to take away on what predestination is all about. The word predestination is composed of two parts: pre, meaning before, and destination, meaning a point of final arrival. To predestine something is determine beforehand where it will end up. If you contemplate this doctrine, just for a little while, you'll have to face some difficult questions. Number one, if predestination is true, what happens to human responsibility? Or are we just robots doing what God has ordained us to do? If some are predestined to heaven, then why bother with any sort of evangelism? Why are we told to go out from here and under the command that Jesus has given us and spread God's word? If you believe that the triune God is sovereign, then predestination is not an issue. Whereas ultimate chance is problematic and very frightening. What we're going to do now is unpack some of what is up there, particularly the areas of human responsibility. Are we just nothing but God's robots or puppets? And what's going to happen should we still go out and evangelism? I'll touch a bit on that. God's plan. From the beginning of time, God's predestined plan was for the redemption of his people. Even when God made the world, he foresaw its ruin and provided for the fulfillment of his basic plan in spite of sin. Isaiah, Daniel, Jonah, and quite a number of others all point to God's predestined plan for the world. You'll find that those Old Testament books there will point you towards Revelation and what's going to happen. God has that all worked out. God the Father always had the predestined plan to send his one and only Son to save us from ourselves. Christ's crucifixion and resurrection were all preordained or predestined by God. Look what Acts 4:28 says. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Grace and free will. God's grace is the foundation of our salvation. Through his grace, we are empowered to make choices that align with his will. Our free will operates within the framework of God's sovereign plan. Predestination is not about God arbitrarily deciding our fate without regard to our choices. To put that simply, he doesn't take away our free will. Rather, it emphasizes that God's grace and purpose are at work in our lives, guiding us towards his divine will. Paul contends that man is responsible for his acts. Therefore, everything good or evil is done by us. Free will. Man is responsible for his own sin and fall. God predestines the salvation. Get hold of that. God predestines the salvation. So you can now start to see the relationship with free will and God's plan. We have the ability ourselves to choose. He does not take that away. However, I'm getting ahead of myself. Are we just God's puppets? Predestination forms the continuous thread that connects everything in our fallen world. Paul in Ephesians, Romans, 1 Corinthians is saying everything exists and acts only in obedience to the will of God. Israel and ourselves are not God's puppets. Nations and individuals act in their own free will, that is to say, yes or no to Christ. We are free to choose election in Christ or reject him and therefore suffer the consequences, which we know is eternal damnation, eternally in hell. Therefore, the one who rejects Christ can only blame himself, no one else. As Christians, we are predestined to conform to the image of Christ. So, before I said God predestines the salvation, that with that last one, as Christians, we are predestined to conform to the image of Christ. If you take nothing else away, take that. That's all predestination is, that we conform to the image of Christ. That's it. I could almost say, I'm finished now. Thank you. But let's put it a bit more. Are we God's puppets? The Creator can do whatever he wants with that which he has created. What has he created? Everything that we see around us and ourselves. If people resist and reject God, they end up preparing their own destruction. Not everyone is going to heaven. Left to ourselves, we'll all go to hell. No one deserves heaven. If we go to heaven, it's because someone else paid the price for admission. Christ, Jesus. Look at what it says in Genesis 2:7. It says that we are formed from the dust of the ground, but we are designed with a purpose. And not last year, but the year before, John ended up doing, what is our purpose? If we reject Christ, we can only blame ourselves, no one else. Are we just robots or not? Predestination is not fatalism or a mechanical system. That is, human choices and decisions really do not make a difference, because no one matters what we do or how things are going or how they turn out, as they were previously ordained. Now, if that's what you want to believe, then go back to what I've just said. We have our own free will. It's up to you to choose or reject. If you reject, then you must believe in that. In a true fatalistic system, our humanity is destroyed and moral accountability is removed. That is, our free will is removed. Romans 8:29. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to conform to the image of his Son, called, justified, glorified, to conform to the image of Christ, which has been predestined when we accept him. God preordained that the gospel message would be the means of bringing us to salvation and not a means of using us as puppets. To put it in a nutshell, we go back. God preordains the salvation. He did that by sending his Son, not taking away our free will. We still have our free will to decide. one too many? No? Why is it? Yep. I don't know why. The machine up the back is having problems today. I had more on that slide, but it didn't like it anyway. Accept or reject. First, from our human standpoint, we are completely free. When you wake up in the morning, you have a choice to get out of bed or to stay in bed. You can wear shorts or you can wear long pants. When you get in your car, you have the free will to drive to work, or if you like, I'll just drive to Perth. Every decision you make is a free choice. You see, and what I had under that, which is for some reason disappeared this morning, the election is God voted for you. Satan voted against you. You are the one that has to cast the deciding vote. You determine your own destiny within the free will, with by either accepting Christ or rejecting him. Here's election. God voted for you, Satan against you. Jesus said to the disciples, "You haven't chosen me, but I chose you." And in Thessalonians, Paul writes to the Thessalonians and emphasizes the fact that they are saved by God's choice. God's choice. And then the other problem with that is that ultimately, if it's my choice, then quite often what I'm going to do is I'm going to make the wrong choice. Satan has a wonderful ability to figure out what that tiny little chink in your armor is. He will figure that out. And he will get in and manipulate that wherever he can. But once again, it comes down to the fact it is your choice, your free will, whether you listen to him or not. So, predestination is to be conformed to the image of his Son, to Christ. Salvation starts with God and ends with God. If predestination is true, it means that we can never claim any credit for our salvation. We don't even get points for seeking the Lord because he sought us before we sought him. Remember, the last time I spoke, I'm not going to do it this time, Rob, okay? I think I scared the daylights out of Rob. I suddenly went down and sort of into the front row there and grabbed his hand. Well, what's going on? So what happens is God has his hand down for us. He has reached down for us. What we have to do is just go, and he will grab that hand. He wants to grab that hand. It's up to us whether we say, nope. Or whether we go, thank you. Harry Ironside was a Canadian-American Bible teacher, preacher, theologian, pastor, and author who pastored Moody Church in Chicago from 1929 to 1948. Now, Moody Church is quite famous all over the world. Harry Ironside told of a prayer meeting where a man gave a stirring testimony of God's grace in his life. Afterwards, someone came up to him and said, "My brother, that was a fine testimony you gave. You talked a lot about God, but you didn't mention your own part in salvation." The man thought for a moment and then said, "You're right. I did leave that out. My part was to run away from God as fast as I could, and God's part was to run after me till he caught me." So it is with all of us. We do the running away and God does the chasing. We're in charge of being lost. God is in charge of saving us. It goes back once again to my example. God's hand is there. We just have to take hold of it. Let's have a look at another example. The father of a family has children and, in his mind, decides, "I want my children to study medicine." At the right time, he finds a teacher, gives them the appropriate study books so that they can grow up to be doctors. However, if they do not want to study medicine, then why would he bother the father to get books, find teachers, etc., etc., for any of it? This thought, arrangement or disposition may have been in the father's mind before the children were born. To have such things carried out required predestination. I'm sure some of you at some stage, if you have children, have basically thought, "Gee, I'd love for them to follow in what I'm doing," or "I'd love them for them to go and do so and so," or whatever it is. "I'd love them to be a good musician or a great football player," or whatever. And so from the very, very young age, you start to head them in that direction. That is preordination. That is preordained in your mind that that is what you start to do. It's still up to them whether they go that way or not. It's still up to them because they have their own mind. It hasn't been taken out and another one put in. They have their own mind of what they want to do. You might want them to be a great footballer or something, yet they're totally uncoordinated. It's like me trying to dance. You know, it's just not on. There's no way in the world. I know my mother always wanted me to go and do dancing. Well, she was a dancer. But no way in the world I could be. Once again, it's of preordination. So let's ask ourselves some of these questions. Why am I a Christian? What is the final reason why God decided to save me? The doctrine of election or predestination tells us that I am a Christian simply because God decided to set his love on me. He decided to pour out his love by sending his son, his one and only son. He predestined that. He didn't predestine for us to be just snatched and this is what you're going to do was I say you're going to do it. He gave us the ability for our own free will. But why did he decide to set his love on me? Even with my sin, he simply decided to love me. He created me and then sent his son to save me from myself and from my life of sin. He sent his son to save me from myself because I cannot save myself. If you think you can save yourself, then you are deluded. Only Christ can save you. Remember, He is sovereign God and He can do whatever He desires or preordains. Think of it. Why do you think Jesus, when asked the question about what was going to happen in the future and when He was coming back, he couldn't answer it? He said, only My Father in heaven knows that. He's keeping that one to Himself. Oh, there's a lot of, if we go back, as I said, to Daniel and all those prophetic books in the Old Testament, it points us towards it. But we don't know the exact time. Only the Father in heaven knows that. But in the meantime, we have to remember that God is sovereign and that He has preordained what's going to happen. He hasn't preordained the fact that He's going to pick me up and go, you're going to do what I want you to do. I like you. I'm going to keep you. Or, I don't like you. Get lost. No. He sent His Son so that we have the free choice, the free will. It should humble us and make us to realize that we have no claim on God's grace. Our salvation is totally due to God's eternal grace and His grace alone. As I said, the thing you have to look at is the fact and take away, God predestines the salvation. He does not take away our free will. He sent His Son so that we may be saved. It is up to us to make sure that we choose correctly. Whether we choose Christ or reject Christ. That is predestination. Shall we pray? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, it can be certainly quite a difficult subject. But I pray at this time, I have, through Your words and Your Holy Spirit, tried to make it a lot easier for people to understand. That everyone here understands that we are given free will. We have the ability to choose or reject Your Son. You predestined the fact that You sent Your Son. You sent Your Son to save us. And it is up to us to say yes or no to that. That's it in a nutshell. Father, we pray that each and every one here chooses to accept You. To put their hand up and go, yes, Jesus, I choose You. And then from there, you are then destined to conform to the likeness of the One in whom You chose. Father, we pray that each and every one here will choose that. And we ask this in and through the name of the One that You sent to save us, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.